Welcome to Unbox Innovation. I'm your host, Amy Shawdorf, and our guest today is Nick Gearing. He is the Training and Development Specialist with EOS Education by Boxlight. Welcome to the program again, Nick.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be back with you.
We're talking all about personalized learning today. It seems to be the new buzzword in today's classrooms. Can you tell me what personalized learning is?
First and foremost, personalized learning is such a big idea. It really encompasses a lot of things. So I think when people hear personalized learning, naturally, they kind of go to this idea of each individual student has a plan. And that is a form of personalized learning. But there's other aspects to personalized learning as well. So it's more incremental, right? So there are other elements that factor into personalized learning, such as elements of choice, elements of different ways of demonstrating knowledge, different ways of gathering data and providing accountability. So it really can be pieced together in a classroom, regardless of what your current status is. So I think a lot of times people think it's going to be a bigger idea than it is, and it absolutely can be.
Right. When I think of personalized learning, and maybe I'm dating myself a little bit, but when my kids were in school, I think of the plans that some kids had who maybe had learning differences, or some of the plans that the kids had if they, you know, had stress when taking an exam. So there were accommodations that were made for them. Is that part of this, or is this just a bigger version of that?
That's a great question, and you're definitely not dating yourself. So you've got 504 plans and you've got IEPs or individualized education plans, right? And so those have been provided for a really long time for students of varying needs. And usually it is to increase access to the curriculum and access to the learning, right? And so we want our students to be able to be successful in a classroom regardless of any conditions or circumstances that they come into the classroom with. The idea with personalized learning is that you are providing as much of that element of individualized tailoring as is manageable for you in the classroom for each of those students. So then instead of looking at each student, and I'm not saying the teachers do, but if you kind of critically evaluate the education system, you know, it's kind of this factory model, right? And so it's getting us out of that mindset and really looking at each student as the individual they are for the strengths that they bring to the table, and then really trying to learn how to capitalize on that so that we're setting students up for long-term success. So it's related, but not the same.
I can hear teachers saying, oh my gosh, I'm already so overworked. Now I have to come up with an individualized learning plan for each of my students. I see 150 students a day because I'm in middle school or I'm a high school teacher. How am I going to do this?
Patiently and with grace. I think the real thing is to bite off no more than really you can chew, right? Depending on what resources are available to you, depending on what skill set you've already developed as an educator, personalized learning can look a lot of different ways. And really, you know, the message that I'm heralding in a broader sense is that it's more important to get started and to do the pieces that you can do. The bigger picture strategy will coalesce around that as you build. There is no waiting for the perfect time, or I'm going to have the perfect set of circumstances or tech tools available that are just going to magically make this easy. Teaching is hard. You hit the nail on the head.
Oh, yeah. It's really hard. Yeah.
Yes. It's incredibly difficult. And so we don't want to make it harder. And so it's really about a mindset of looking at this as, what do we already do? And how do we lean into those things? What tools do we already have available to us in our classroom? And leaning into that. And I think over time, that personalization will increase because you will see the results, and it won't feel like more work. It will feel like intentional work.
I know you've been in a classroom. Can you give me an example of how you incorporated personalized learning in your classroom and what that would look like for a teacher? I mean, would it be more groups, or would it actually be each student on their own individualized plan?
You're so smart. Like, are you sure you don't have a background in ed?
No.
your question's great. It really is kind of all of those things. So when I was in the classroom, I taught English language arts, ELA. So an example would be, you know, I for a long time, I worked in a district that was really big on the continuous improvement model. And that was really about setting short-term cycle goals and including students in those conversations about what strategies we're using to accomplish those goals, and then providing opportunities for students to work independently or to strategize with a small group. So to answer your question more specifically, I would work with my students on writing, right? So one of the big parts of English language arts is writing. And so before we would start a writing task, we would conference with students and be able to individually have these conversations with them about their writing and about the things that they feel good about and the things that they need. I would then pair that with the data that we have access to that shows how that particular student has been able to perform in their writing. And so together we would then set some goals in terms of, you can't just fill a page with a bunch of red ink and think that students are going to be able to take in all that feedback, process it, and just grow. That's overwhelming, right? And so it's really about breaking it up into like some of those smaller piece goals and then really focusing on those goals until you've achieved them. So that when you're doing small group instruction, like you mentioned, that's a really big possible element in personalized learning. So that you're grouping students around those needs or around those goals so that you can stay really focused on those. And it also provides some built-in accountability in the classroom. On top of that, there is the individual part, right? So I also use station rotations, which is a big kid form of doing centers, right? If, you know, we have primary school, but in secondary, you know, we've got station rotation and you're doing a similar task with more independence. But then that's allowing those students, as they're working through those different components, to really focus on those goal areas that you provided. So then it's about providing choice elements or a variety of options when they're moving through those.
Do you find that the students are more excited about what they're learning about with these personalized plans?
Yes and no. So, I mean, it's not the giant magic band-aid for things. I do find that students, when they see that their teacher is meaningful in this attempt to engage with them and to really tailor what they're doing as best they can to the students are receptive, right? So one of the first things about kids is they are their authenticity sharks, right? So they can smell it, right? So it's really important that, like I said earlier, we don't want to just think that I've got to do all the things or I'm failing. It's about doing the things that you can do and doing them as well as you can with intent, with purpose. And your students will see that purpose and they will reciprocate much more often than they won't. So it's not going to fix everything, but I do see an increase in engagement, an increase in that excitement about learning. They don't want to feel like, you know, a number in a classroom either. And teachers don't want them to feel that way. So this is a great way for us to kind of come together as collaborators in learning. And the students, when they see that they have that element of choice or that they can speak to what they hope to accomplish or what they hope to learn, their value added is pretty immense.
I know a lot of school districts and a lot of administrators are statistics-based. They like to see numbers mm-hmm. on how well these programs are performing. So are there any numbers that show that personalized learning is the future and is the way we should be going?
Yeah, there's a lot of research that's currently being done. I know that the Gates Foundation was really big over the last decade and a half. Really providing funding for research to be done so that we're really paying attention to meaningful data. We're not just gathering numbers. You know, there's a lot of numbers out there that we can use to determine the value of what we're doing, but we want to be accurate and we want to be intentional. So they've really worked to support programs like that. They're not the only ones, obviously, out there from the philanthropic side trying to support that. But the data really does show when we are intentional, and that when we are purposeful in using strategies that align with personalized learning, we do see growth in those students' achievement.
Are there any continuing education classes for teachers who want to go down this path and learn about how to do this in their classrooms if they haven't adopted this already?
Oh, absolutely. And that comes from all markets, right? So teachers are able to participate in courseware now that exists at the community college, at the state college level, so at the university level. But there are also a number of programs and organizations that are providing professional development, continuing education credit opportunities for teachers, specifically in these areas. So EdTech isn't the only tool that's involved in personalized learning. Personalized learning happens even without educational technology. I think educational technology enhances that opportunity. I think it opens more doors. I think it more broadly gives you opportunity, but it's not the end all be all. So I think that it's about this this balance between those two pieces and really implementing only those things that really make sense so that the data that you're getting is meaningful and it's connected, right? So if I'm using 7 different pieces of software, those pieces of data aren't necessarily working together and they're not necessarily analyzing that content. So a lot of technology is developing, a lot of the LMS, those learning management systems, right? The LMS technology, things like Microsoft and Google are doing work as well in these areas in order to make sure that they're pulling the data from these sources and that what you're seeing are genuine results of your students' outcomes and results. And then that's going to be what we're wanting to look at. So the opportunities exist totally.
Can the teachers be using AI tools to actually come up with their individual plans to save them time if they don't want to try to, you know, spend an hour on each kid and they just don't have the resource to do that?
Oh, they absolutely don't have the time for that. So I think that the AI, you know, what do we want to call it? The explosion of AI everywhere. It has been really exciting. And I think this is one of those areas that it's even more prevalent. There are tools, there's a lot of tools, and there are hundreds of tools coming out each week that are AI driven or AI adjacent that are built for teachers, for educators in order to help them tailor and personalize learning. Tools like magicschool.ai, like that's a great resource. Currently a free resource.
Are those free or they cost teachers money?
You knew right where I was going to go too. My favorite place is free. As educators, we also aren't rich, right? So there isn't just that, you know, that pool of money just waiting for us to spend. So those free resources really do become important. Tools like Magic School AI are free resources. A lot of them do offer paid elements or subscriptions that will increase the number of features and engagement opportunities. But they are built in order to utilize generative AI tools in order to help you to personalize and to tailor. So then it's about really prompting those tools well. And when we learn how best to prompt those tools, the results we get are a lot more meaningful and applicable to our classroom. So I do think that AI is going to provide a lot of ways for teachers to streamline that lesson planning process. And that will allow the teacher as the human, right, as the expert, to really be able to then look at that and tailor that and refine that rather than having to do the entire thing from scratch. I do think that that will save a lot of time. And I do think it'll open a lot of doors for teachers to really lean into personalized learning.
Getting back to the money issue, so many teachers have their wish lists on Amazon because they just don't have the money to afford all the supplies that they need in their classrooms because they basically take money out of their own bank accounts to set up their classrooms and have all the extras for their students that a lot of the schools don't provide. So are there grants that are available that teachers can apply for this personalized learning?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm really glad that you brought that up because most of my friends are somewhere in the education field. And a lot of my friends, that's what Christmas and holidays really looks like, is going to those wish lists and really making sure so that when they come back in January, there are those things that they didn't already have. So I'm glad that you mentioned that because it really is an important part of the bigger picture, right? Are those financial limitations. There are a lot of grants and funding opportunities out there available for teachers. I don't often think that they are tailored specifically currently for this particular purpose. So it's really about being creative and really having a vision of what you want to accomplish in your classroom so that you can tell that story in a grant application or when you're applying for funding in other ways, so that you can tell that story as it relates to the source, right? So with grant funding, they oftentimes will tell you what they hope to accomplish, but the how you get there part is up to you. So it's really on schools and districts to help develop teachers' ability to be able to speak to those things. And a lot of districts are spending some of their resources and their funding to include individuals that will help with that process and will help with grant funding. It's unfortunate that we even have to have that part of the conversation, if I'm being honest with you.
Right.
But that's just me. I wish that it was all available to everybody. And I think we'd just be super smart all the time.
I think teachers should get paid a lot more, but that's a whole different conversation.
Wow. And bless you for saying that.
Do you find teachers are embracing this personalized learning, or is it younger teachers or newer teachers who are doing it more than some of the more experienced teachers, or am I wrong about that?
You're not wrong. I think that it's how it's being applied or the methodology or the approach. It's definitely noticeable when we talk about certain elements of technology. Some of the newer elements of technology might be a little less inviting for some of our veteran teachers. That's not to say all veteran or older teachers, you know, are tech resistant by any means. But there can absolutely be that part. But the other part of that is the flip side. And the flip side of that is that there are those teachers that have been teaching for so long that they do so much of this already, and they're manually doing it. They're doing it, for lack of a better phrase, the hard way, right? They have found a way to be able to do as much personalization as possible using less of those tools. So I think that being able to merge those two groups together with that shared common goal has really been helpful, because they see the value that that other group kind of brings to the table, so that we can all get there. The tech part can be intimidating, but I think that the desire to do what's right by kids is way more prevalent than any of those fears or apprehensions that they have.
I know a big issue in the classrooms for a lot of teachers is they feel like they're teaching just for the state exams. And those state exams have been controversial nationwide for many, many years. If teachers move to this personalized learning model, does it affect how kids are doing on these state exams?
That's a great question, because those state exams, as much as the fight is strong on both sides of the argument for the validity or the value, the fact of the matter is they still are deeply tied to funding in schools. And so as much as we might not enjoy or appreciate elements of it, or we can question elements of equity, the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, we still need to fund our schools. And that is a key metric that is used for funding schools. So it's really important that we don't move into a strategy like personalizing learning at the expense of making sure that those standards are still being addressed meaningfully to proficiency, right, in the classroom. So the idea with personalized learning is that we're taking those expectations that are provided for us, right, those state standards that have been provided, and we are honoring those pieces. We are still meeting those expectations and those needs, but we're not limiting our students to just those outcomes. They can grow beyond those outcomes, and here's a meaningful way that we can scaffold them to that learning. If we are able to personalize learning in such a way that students are able to go beyond the standards, our test scores are going to be ridiculous. And we're going to finally see those results that we've been hoping to see for my entire lifetime of taking standardized testing and teaching in classrooms where we're testing our kids that way. I think it's really important that we don't lose the element of that's why we're still here. That is still a key measurement for what we do, but we can do better than that. We aren't limited to just that bubble to live in. And hopefully our test results then will indicate that as well. I believe that they will.
In elementary education in K through five, is personalized learning something that happens throughout the day, or is it just on one part of the day, or how does a teacher manage that throughout the day?
Primary schools vary quite a bit. I've seen many, many schools, and so I've seen a lot of different approaches and philosophies of learning. But what I will say is those primary educators are like the top notch. When we talk about being able to personalize and to tailor to individual student needs, the younger grade level teachers are actually more required. It's more necessary for their success as teachers to be able to do that, because kids, let's imagine a kindergartner, right? All of those kindergarten students are joining a classroom. Many of them, for the very first time they've ever had to sit in a room with all of these students and follow instructions of this person that's not my mom or my dad, right? So from that day, that teacher has had to take 30, 35, 40 individual kids that all have very different experiences and capabilities and get them kind of on the same page and able to do these same tasks, meet proficiency at these different standards and expectations. So it's already naturally happening in those primary classrooms. They can't not do this. I think when we get into those older grade levels where they're more able to self-realize, self-actualize, self-manage, they're also able to sit longer and listen longer and to take in more complex information more directly, right? So it's about how do we continue to provide those opportunities in those older grade levels as well, I think is a really important thing. So I'm really glad that you asked that question. I think primary teachers, for the most part, are really top-notch at doing this already.
How do parents feel about this? I mean, do they even know what's going on?
Yes, I do believe that they know what's going on. I live in Arizona, which is a broad educational network. So we have public charters, private charters, you have parochial schools, you have public, traditional public schools. And so that element of school choice is really large here. And so when you're looking at the data, the feedback from parents as they're moving their child from one school to another or from one environment to another, right? Maybe they're moving from a public charter to, a traditional public school or vice versa. They are talking specifically about those things. I felt like my kid is seen here. I feel like my kid is a person that matters in their classroom, that they are not just one of the students. They are the student, and that my teacher knows them and really understands them and their needs, both for their strengths and for those areas of opportunity and potential weaknesses for them, right? So parents are paying very careful attention to how much individualized or personalized attention their student gets in the classroom. They absolutely are paying attention.
And that's wonderful, because I have a friend who's a teacher and she just went back to school and she got her class and she has 35 kids in her class. And that's a lot of work for the teacher, but I would imagine it would really make a difference for the students in that size classroom.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. The more a teacher is able to provide those individual opportunities for students, elements of choice when it's appropriate and applicable, the more those students see themselves as part of a unit and not just the unit. Right. And it's a really important differentiation that we need to help our students see is how they contribute to that bigger collaborative environment and that they're not just at the expense of it. They are a contributing factor to that. So it's really important.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Unbox Innovation. Nick, you're great. You're wonderful. You're just
thank
such
you.
A bright light in this world of education. And we really appreciate you explaining personalized learning to us and how it's effective and is so great for kids in the classroom.
Thank you. Your questions were fabulous. I always love getting this opportunity to talk to you. Hopefully we'll get another one soon.
Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of Unbox Innovation. Thanks again, Nick, for all your insight, and we'll see you next time.